This is Alex Krainer.
This is Dave Collum.
This is Bruce Party.
Hi, this is Jeremy McKenzie, the Raging Dissident.
Hello, this is Maxime Bernier.
This is Danny Bulford.
This is Chuck Prodnick.
This is Vance Crowe, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. How's everybody doing on Wednesday, episode 600? How the heck did that come? Holy Dinah, that is a lot. And on goes the beat. Now, before we get to anything episode 600, how about we start here? The world is a mess, and 2024 is shaping up to be a geopolitical storm. I would agree. And did you notice that gold just hit its all-time high price? Just saying. If you aren't paying attention to that, you probably should. And now might be the perfect time to diversify some of your hard-earned savings into physical money that can't be printed. Yeah, gold and silver. That's Silver Gold Bull, North America's premier precious metals dealer. They are right here in Alberta. They can ship all across Canada, all across the United States. Just go to silvergoldbull.ca. You can find it all out there. They also are offering a special feature pricing on everyone's favorite silver coin, the Royal Canadian Mint Silver Maple Leaf. This offer is not available on their site. It's only open for Sean Newman podcast listeners. Call or email Graham today. Down in the show notes is all his details. And if you got no appetite for any of that, totally cool. But I would still suggest or hope or appreciate maybe if you would send Graham an email and say, hey, thanks to Silver Gold Bull for supporting the Sean Newman podcast. It is pretty cool that we got a company like that willing to go out and support independent media. And I don't know, some days I go, I am pretty on the fringe. Other days, I feel like I'm right in the heat of things, you know, right smack in the middle of what everybody's talking about. We'll see what you all think of episode 600 when we're done. Caleb Taves, Renegade Acres, they have the community spotlight, and we are talking all things S&P Presents April 27th. You got Martin Armstrong, Tom Luongo, Alex Krainer, Chris Sims, Chuck Prodnick, Curtis Stone. We just locked up Mikhail Thorup. It's going to be an interesting day. And what's really cool is I put out on the tickets, you could buy a table with one of the speakers and sit with them for the day, right? Because, I mean, they're going to be on stage for part of the day. For a huge chunk of the day, they're going to be sitting there. And why not buy one of those tables and get to sit with them? Well, Luongo, gone. Krainer, gone. Stone, gone. Mikhail Thorup, gone. Sean Newman, gone. Drew Weatherhead? You're going, what? He's not on the list. Oh, he's coming. He's got a table. It's gone. 222 minutes, gone. And so we keep adding new people that are coming to the show. We're going to be putting them at a table. And if you want that table to sit with said individual for the show length, you can go do that. Chuck Prodnick, Chris Sims, as it sits, still available. It's going to be a ton of fun. That's April 27th. Down the show notes is the link. And I'm looking at it going, like, this is going to be a fun day. Like, I look at some of the things coming down the pipe in Canada specifically, and I want to make sure that, you know, we discuss them and see if there's ways to navigate the storm that is all around us so that we can all be a little better off in the coming days. The Deer and Steer Butchery, they've got a new butcheress. Yes, I was saying this on holidays, butcheress, a dealer in meat. Mother of two, she was born and raised in the small town of Wadena, Saskatchewan. You know, small town Saskatchewan girl, she's going to be kick ass in the old butcher shop. That's Amber. She's been cutting meat since she was 16, and she took retail meat cutting at Nate, went on to apprentice at the Real Deal Meats in Edmonton, worked out in Ontario at the St. Lawrence Market, which is one of the biggest fresh produce meat and seafood vendors in Canada. And she's ready to be and excited to be a part of the Deer and Steer. You can call and get your animal in today, 780-870-8700. Erickson Agro Incorporated out of Irma, Alberta. Kent and Tasha Erickson, family farm, raising four kids, growing their food for the community and this great country. Sad to say, the Blair and his team lost out in their playoffs. But, you know, it was funny. The Bandits, I didn't. Shout out to the Mr. Bandits. I played with Lenny and actually Jason Ross once upon a time. They were up 2-1 in the series against Wainwright with a chance to play Vermilion. And I know if you're not from the area, you're going, what is this? And it's junior B hockey. And Vermilion's in the finals. I was like, when was the last time that happened? And then Lloyd was up 2-1. And I was like, man, can you imagine a Lloyd Mr. Vermilion final? Wouldn't that be something? Well, Blair, our billet, went and watched Wainwright beat Lloydminster here over the weekend. And I was like, oh, how was it? And I guess there's a bunch of Irma kids playing for the Wainwright Bisons. So good luck to those two teams going to be in the finals, Wainwright and Vermilion. There you go. That's all I got for you guys today. Junior B hockey, you know, it's pretty cool when the local teams are doing well. All right, let's get on to that tale of the tape. He's originally from Nigeria, now a preacher here in Canada. He's an author and also known as the Fringe Preacher. I'm talking about Solomon Davies. So buckle up. Here we go. Welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Solomon Davies, the Fringe Preacher. I tell you what, I've had the Cowboy Preacher, now I got the Fringe Preacher. Thanks for joining me, Solomon.
Thanks a lot for having me, Sean. I'm so excited to be here. I've heard great things about you, so I'm excited to just adventure here to see what happens. I'm excited.
Well, it's interesting because I put out a text to Melissa McKee after she came on. People will recall she was just on a week ago, the Bikers Church. And I said, I'm looking for somebody to talk about spiritual warfare. Who would I talk to? She, one quick text back, Solomon Davies. All right, let's do it. So you got to tell, I'm just as in the dark as many people on this side. Tell us a bit about yourself, Solomon. Give us the long or short of it.
You know what? Shout out to Melissa McKee. I mean, of all the incredible people she knows, I'm so honored she thought about me, right? So I don't believe in a coincidence. I believe in divine providence. So hello, Melissa. Thank you so much for just recommending me. I'm really excited about this Sean Newman's podcast. Thank you for having me again. A bit about myself, of course. Many people know me from as the Fringe Preacher, right? Out of just what happened at the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, nation's capital. But let me travel back a bit of my story. I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. That's where I'm originally from. My dad is I'm a PK, so a PK stands for pastor's kid. A pastor's kid. My dad is a pastor to this day. I was brought up in a very godly home, amazing home. So I came to Canada about 25, 6 years ago, coming to this country. I thought this was the heaven I've always heard about. Beautiful country, amazing country. I was, till this day, I love this nation so much, right? I'm one of seven. My siblings are all over the world. Yeah, I'm a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I'm sold out for him. I lead a ministry called God Heal Our Land. God Heal Our Land. I'm an author of about 3 books, produced a few films. One of my documentary film, which you may have watched, is it's called The Fringe Preachers. I made a film out of what God did in at the Freedom Convoy, just to show a spiritual lens of what was happening, right? So that's a nutshell of who I am. And of course, many know me as an evangelist. So I love sharing the gospel. I love just seeing people just coming to know the person of Jesus Christ, who's changed my life. So yeah, that's just that's a bit of my story.
Well, if we can, Solomon, I wouldn't mind. You know, anytime I have somebody on the podcast who's come from a different country, spent their life there, and now obviously here, Nigeria. Could you tell us a bit about it, growing up there and being a pastor's kid in Nigeria? I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, being a pastor's kid was, I didn't really understand, but I understood the warfare as a pastor's kid. There was a lot of spiritual opposition as a child, right? So remember, it is possible to be in a church and not be in Christ. Throughout my childhood, I went to church, but I didn't have a personal connection with the Lord. Of course, my parents always took us to church to pray. But being a pastor's kid, I traveled a lot with my dad, because my dad was a missionary pastor. He went to different cities to preach the gospel, right? So as a byproduct, we had to follow him everywhere he went to. So I was, to this day, I have friends who called me a church boy, right? Because I spent so many hours in the church, conferences, prayer meetings, you name it, Sunday services, I've been there, right? But we were brought up really well, great parents, they provided for us. a very disciplined home, right? So, yeah, Nigeria growing up, it was a rough area. It was a rough area of there was a lot of disadvantage at youth where I'm from, families in poverty. But I came to really understand and know God's provision growing up as a child. God always provided for my family. It was a glorious experience. I love Nigeria, right? Of course, right now there's a lot going on back in Nigeria, but I spent 14 years in Nigeria. The first 14 years of my life was in Nigeria. So it was a beautiful experience. I learned a lot. And a lot of the lessons my parents instilled in me, it's paid off right now in my life as a man.
When you talk about disadvantaged youth and just poverty, I guess I'm just curious what you mean by that, because you know, when I think of like disadvantaged people here in Canada, I think it's different. Maybe it's the same thing. I'd just be curious to hear, you know, when you talk disadvantaged youth, what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by that is I saw a lot of people in poverty, right? I mean, you see a big family of maybe of 10 people in one bedroom, right? Many people don't have cars, and there's joblessness, there's no jobs, and there's a lot of crimes. A lot of the youth were involved in crimes, many starvations, homelessness. I saw a lot of those growing up. That's what I mean by disadvantaged youth. Not just by few, by a lot of people, right? Of course, my dad is a pastor, so he had a little salary. He was able to look after the whole family, 7 children, right? So I'm really thankful. But, you know, but I saw that a lot growing up, and I look at this part of the world, we are so blessed. We're so blessed, right? Of course, there are homelessness here in our nation, Canada, but we're really blessed over here. But growing up, what I saw, it was, you know, there's just a scarcity of food, scarcity of jobs. But you know what? We were taught just to be thankful for everything we have, right? So, yeah.
The Canadian country music singer, Paul Brandt, and I talked once upon a time, and he said about traveling to third world countries is they were, in his mind, closer to God than we are. It's almost like we've forgotten, you know, our spiritual side of things. And I just had on Michael Wagner to talk about, you know, basically how Christianity's slowly been pulled from society. It's been, you know, with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and just taking, you know, Lord's Day Act and different things like that and removing things from society. Would you agree with that? Like when you look at Nigeria and then coming to Canada, like, did you have things like, I don't know, medical assistance and dying and worrying about if a man could be a woman and all these crazy things? Or are you like, oh no, Canada is this beautiful place, but we have jumped off the deep end?
Yeah, Canada has turned away from God. That's how I like to say. Canada has turned away from God. As a result of that, we're seeing a lot of these spiritual activities happening now. Now, back to your question, as a child, man, one appreciation I had was, you know, you see a lot of people, they are in church prayer meetings, seeking God, praying and crying to him for help, right? Whereby in this part of the world, there's so much people, we're busy with so many things. There's an acronym I have for busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke, right? Because we're so busy, we don't hear God, right? We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to seek his face, right? So growing up, I saw a lot of that. There was a spiritual awakening happening in the churches. I left Nigeria when I was like only 14. I was pretty young. So my focus then was just I was always in prayer meetings with my parents, Bible studies, and I just went to school. So we were raised up really well. But I saw a lot of the things happening around me, right? So when talks about when we look about the gender crisis today, the identity crisis, I became aware later on in my life, right? So my parents raised us really well. So yeah.
You know, you had said early on, you can be in church but not in Christ, and I my brain went. You were talking about yourself. I'm not sure if that's what you meant. When is it then that you finally stumble into the big guy and go, oh, like this is legit?
I would say it was later on in my teenage years. When I say it is possible to be in a church and not in Christ, I mean, as a child, I knew of God. I mean, I said in my words that I loved them, right? I prayed, I read my Bible, But oftentimes, you know, it's head knowledge, but there's no heart transformation, right? So, but I still lived in sin. In other words, I still partied. I still did the things of the world, right? So it was later on in my teenage years, I began to just, I was around people that would just have like encounters. They would see things in the spiritual realm. Like I had a friend who would say to me, I see things I can't explain, right? But when they would speak like that to me without like in vague, I knew what they were talking about, because Bible tells us that God is spirit, right? Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And guess who's also spirit too? Satan, the devil, as many know him, he's also spirit, right? So I was always around people that would see things like that. And then as a byproduct, I knew that God was calling me. See, as a child, though I kind of just lived in the flesh, when I say flesh, like I had an appetizer for worldly things, things that did not glorify God, things that God hated, I had fear of the Lord. So when I was a child, I would always, I was afraid of hell. I always felt like, oh my goodness. Like, of course, we know that Jesus Christ is coming back soon according to scripture. But I had this fear of like, oh man, I'm living in sin. And if Jesus were to come back today, I'm going to hell. So I had this fear of the Lord. Maybe it was an unholy fear, but now I understand the fear of the Lord as holy reverence for the Lord, right? So in my teenage years later on, I would meet all these people because I partied a lot. And I still went to church on Sunday, praising God, reading my Bible. And on Monday, I'm back partying again. I had relationships. I wasn't faithful. I just did things that I knew in my heart that God was not pleased. I knew that I was hurting him, right? So later on, it was my first year of college that I got plugged in a Bible club in my school. And there were some evangelistic missionary kids in the school that really took me under their wings. And that's where I really grew my walk with God. And of course, I give my life to Jesus, and I gave away those, I don't like to say I found God, God found me. So all these years, God has been bringing people in my life that would have this, they would see things like even things like, this was my introduction to spiritual warfare. They would see things that I knew was evil, dark stuff. Like as a child, personally, for many years, I would be sleeping at nighttime, and I would have a. I'm not sure if you've had this experience yourself, Sean, but you're awake, but you can't get up from your sleep. It's like something is choking you in your sleep. I had that for many years as a child. Just I understand that to be a spiritual oppression. You're in a conscious state. You're trying to get up from sleep, but you can't, and you're crying for help, but nobody can hear what you're trying to say. I had those experiences as a child, right? But I didn't have a way out of it. I was being tormented spiritually. As a child, I had a sibling of mine, like, will be sleeping one time, and he will scream out of his sleep, help, help, dad. And so later on in life, I began to understand, okay, there's a real devil. I've heard of him, but all these things I went through, my near-death experiences as a child, right? All of this was a wake-up call. And then later on in my teenage years, I had a series of encounters. And I knew that I knew I had to take my walk with Jesus Christ seriously. And I know time was running out. So, of course, I responded. I gave my life to Jesus. And the rest was history. My life has never been the same again. And change of friends, so many things in my life, my appetites changed, and everything. The only thing I desired was to know God and his way, and of course the Bible. And I got plugged in, and so it's been a detour, a planned detour. And the best way to explain it was God has always been after me, and he did everything he could to get my attention. Even the times I was at church, I heard great preachings, great worship, but my heart was not there. That's what I mean by you can be in the church and you're not in Christ, because you're just present there, your nice outfit, but you're still indulging in sin.
Yeah, the thing that comes to mind for me is that he knows exactly what you're going to do, right? That one messes with my brain. I'm like, then Why do we got to all play it out? Because, I mean, like, you know, I'm going to wrestle with this for way too long. Longer than is probably healthy, but you're going to wrestle with it. But that's the only way that certain people are made up. And then when you start seeing things or experiencing things, then you for sure think nobody's going to ever understand this because this is about as wild as it gets. And the longer it goes later into life, because, you know, you say you're a teenager. I think, well, I'm like, how the heck does a teenager grasp this? You know, when there's so many adults that, you know, here or where I live, I don't know. I just that, or, you know, probably stare at you with like, okay, sure. What were you doing last night? And yet, the more you talk about it, the more you start to understand more people such as yourself are having the same experience. And you go, it's like, I don't know, Solomon. There's a lot going on there, especially in the spiritual side of things. I said this probably 100 episodes ago. It's why I wanted you on 600. As I was looking at, the 100 seemed to be a capstone for me, if you would, right? 100 was Ron McLean. It was a capstone. 200, 300, 400, it's gone from hockey into politics, into, you know, symbolism, into where I'm at, I think, right now, you know, with Jesus and the spiritual forces that play. If you are dabbling lightly into this, there's a lot going on. And I don't know how we all are in it. It's just whether or not you're willing to admit what we're in, I think. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, you know, I just feel to go here with this conversation. I look at the state of the world today, our nation, even Nigeria, where I'm from, right? I see the oppression. I see the identity crisis. I see the oppositions. We all just went through a global pandemic. It affected every single person, right? So many families were affected. But, you know, I mean, I'm reminded that, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, now is the day of salvation. So with all this stuff that's happening, God is trying to get everyone's attention, just like he was trying to get hold of me. I have this acronym for the gospel. It is the unwavering pursuit of Jesus Christ towards you and me. And the acronym is for G-O-S-P-E-L, God only Son pursuing every life, right? So God will allow events just to get your attention because he loves you so much. So just thinking about the events in Canada, in Nigeria, where I was brought up, you know, I'm so thankful for every experience I went through. Because if I hadn't worked through those experiences, I wouldn't be the person I am today, right? So, you know, the Bible says God uses all things together for the good of those that love him, right? So the things I've had to work through, the things I've seen with my eyes, it's a byproduct of the tools the Lord is using today when it comes to the ministry of the gospel.
You know, you've stuck it in my brain now that he'll use events to get people's attention. And what bigger event than a global pandemic where basically the entire world is force-fed one option, get this or else, and then lock everything down. And I assume somewhere along the lines there, Solomon, you become the fringe preacher. At what point does that name take hold? And what is the event that spurs on, you know, we got to say something here?
You know what? I have to, before the Freedom Convoy, I wrote a book called Love Rained Down, 40 Days of Encouragement. You know, when the Lord had placed my heart to write his book, I had a lot of fear because, I mean, I dropped out of high school, right? I played college soccer. My God was sport. I loved sport. To be precise, I know you were a hockey. You were a lover of hockey. You played hockey. My thing was soccer. I played soccer. And that was the only thing I really knew how to do and loved, right? So I dropped out of high school. Eventually, I went to college. I played college soccer. I dropped out of college. I just had a struggle with my purpose. Lord, why am I here? What do you want to do in my life, right? So sometime later, of course, when the Lord launched me, I went to college and I began to understand my purpose, God's plan for my life, what he wanted me to do. I wrote a book eventually because I would meet so many people that were battling with discouragement. And everywhere I went to, it's an errand, wherever it is, I find myself just trying to encourage people. There's a verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing. So I began to realize that I am exhausting myself. Everywhere I go, I'm talking to people. And I'm like, you know what? I need to write a book because the Lord has walked me through some things. I have learned some things, and I need to just really be more wise in how I reach out to people. So I wrote this book, and this book I wrote, The Love Rained Down, 40 Days of Encouragement. I think of that book as the beginning stages of the wake-up call. I went through Indigo Books. I visited over 60 Indigo bookstores, just book signings, ministering to people. People were getting set free in my book signings. What I mean by set free, they were experiencing freedom from addictions and you name it. And then I would always just alarm just this sense for the urgency of coming to know Christ Jesus. And so this 2020 approached, and the next thing I know, we're in a global pandemic. And it was a time I was actually, the ministry that we do today, it was starting to, my personal assignment was starting to take off. It was growing. Everything got shut down. When I heard about the pandemic at first, I took it very lightly. I thought it was just another one of those things going out there. And the next thing I know, everything was on lockdown. So when the pandemic happened, the lockdown, I was very sad because it disrupted everything I was doing. And I'm sure it affected many people too, people like yourself. And that was when I began to really pray and find out what was really going on. And the Lord gave me 2 Chronicles 7:14. This was a text by, this is God speaking to Solomon, funny enough. And God says to Solomon, you got to read that in context. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and seek his face, then will I hear them and heal their land. I began to understand the seriousness of this wickedness that was grieving God, that is bringing our attention to. I'm not saying pandemic was God-led or was from God. I'm saying that it was God-allowed. God allowed it to happen to get our attention for his purpose. And then when I understood this verse, months went by. Of course, that was when I was introduced to things like Zoom virtual meetings. I didn't like virtual meetings before that. So now we've all accustomed to it, right? And but I saw how many people were affected, families and the mask. Oh, my goodness. And all kinds of stuff that happened. It was very, very, if there's anyone out there that just questions the seriousness of the spiritual realm or warfare, COVID really exposed all of that, right? And I would hear people would say things that they were experiencing, things that they saw. So I knew from the first time that this can be, this is to be taken very seriously. And there was a prayer movement happening all over the night, everywhere. Every Christian I knew were praying. I mean, there's never been a time in the last 100, 200 years, there was a prayer movement like we saw in COVID. Everybody was praying because they were locked in their homes, right? And of course, it was a real virus that killed millions of people, died in this pandemic. It was severe. So if you weren't praying before, you were forced to pray now, right? And eventually, I understood what was going on, right? And then people were repenting. Long story short, we were having a personal awakening in our ministry. So I do a lot of street stuff with homelessness. I'm preaching the gospel on the streets with my books. And of course, I'm a minister. And God was blessing our work because I had written this book, Love Rained Down, 40 Days of Encouragement. So I knew during COVID that the Lord needed me to be more of an encouraging voice, even more now that people are feeling despair, discouraged. So I was busy during COVID just virtually. I did conferences, I did events, and people were being touched by the power of God, right? And then eventually, I went to Ottawa twice. The Lord spoke to my heart to travel to Ottawa. This was the second time I went to Ottawa. It was 7 months before the freedom, the truckers arrived in Ottawa. And of course, we got there, we prayed around Parliament, Justin Trudeau's office. We were praying intentionally for a move of God in Canada. We're praying for revival in Canada. See, Canada has a prophetic destiny. We have an amazing destiny. We have a call in our life. Canada has a call to bring healing to the nations. Every country has a calling, right? So the United States has a calling to bring justice to the world. That's why you see wherever the Americans are, they're known as the police of the world, right? They're known as that. Canada's calling is to bring healing to the nations. But I believe what God has been doing with Canada this year has he's been trying to heal our land first. I love the national anthem, the part that says God, it says, God keep our land, make it glorious and free, right? Right. So I came to realize the last few years that it is a prayer. It is a prayer. We've all prayed that. The question is, do we realize that we're praying and that with this prayer, it's a partnership. God has kept his side of the deal, right? You want me to keep your land? You want me to heal your land? I need you to participate and partner with me, right? So 7 months before, I got to Ottawa, and then I heard about the Freedom Convoy 7 months before, and I met one of the leaders. When I heard about the plans, I thought these guys were crazy. You can't pull this off. This is Canada. You can't put this off in Canada. You're going to get thousands of truckers to Ottawa. So I knew God had led me to Ottawa the second time so I can hear about what was about to happen. When you are, remember I said, because we're so busy, we don't hear God. And because we don't hear God, we don't fear God, right? So, of course, God brought my attention. I went to Ottawa, and then I was just, of course, I heard about this Freedom Convoy plans. I prayed for this guy and his team, right? I believe he would have been one of the original leaders of this. And then, and I left. And 7 months later, I finished teaching, and I'm heading home, and I'm seeing all over the news, the truckers are coming. The truckers are coming. I'm like, what is going on here? What do you mean the truckers are coming? I looked up my research, and I found out I heard about this 7 months ago. This was what that person told me about. And guess what? They had pulled off the vision. Some way, somehow, this whole thing blew up all over the country, right? And then the Lord spoke to my heart I went to Ottawa, right? I told my wife, hey, honey, I got to go to Ottawa because I believe that if this is what I think it is, everyone is talking about it, then I am supposed to be there with this assignment I have in my life to be an encouraging voice with people who are battling afflictions, people who are oppressed, people who are discouraged. I took my team, we went to Ottawa. My God, it was loud, it was wild, but I understood what the truckers were doing. Of course, the unjust mandates, and we know what was going on in the nation. I got to Ottawa, and then the next thing I know, we were encouraging so many people, preaching the gospel for about 3 weeks. We reached about, I think, 1.3 million people in 3 weeks, right? Every person that came by me heard about Jesus. We prayed for the truckers. We bought coffee for people. We encouraged people. We stood with the truckers, of course, because we know that what had happened at the start of COVID and all the mandates, we knew it was all evil. It was wickedness, right? And now the next thing I know, I even had a drug dealer got baptized in my hotel room, right? I met people like all of the champions of the Freedom Convoy. I don't want to name call, but you know all of them. And God did a lot of stuff. And then when the Emergency Act was erected the last few days, it's been said that those were the UN soldiers, but we know whatever was taking place was evil. It was not cool. The Lord sent, I was going to Ottawa back and forth for 3 weeks. The very last weekend, the Lord had stirred my heart again to go back to Ottawa. That was the last weekend of the when the police were beating the truckers and the freedom fighters. I drove to Ottawa again in a snowstorm in 5 hours. Get into Ottawa, man, what I saw, I understood this verse in the Bible. There's a verse in Psalms that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because your staff, they comfort me. For the first time, I realized that Ottawa was a valley. I didn't know that before, right? That in this valley situation, in this dark situation, that which I call, it was a spiritual warfare. It was intensified in one of the highest levels. But I knew God was with me. Remember I said before that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Satan also is spirit. And if you look at scripture, you know that long ago, right? Of course, the spiritual realm is much older than the physical realm. Long ago, Satan was kicked out of heaven because of pride. And Satan said things like, I will be like God, right? God says, no, you won't, right? And it wasn't God that fought Satan, because Satan is not a match for God. It was actually Michael the archangel, one of the archangels that actually fought Satan and his demons, and they got kicked out of heaven. And Jesus would tell this beautiful story when his 72 came back from, he had sent them out in twos. They came back and said, Lord, we saw this great stuff that was done. We saw demons casted out. We saw people healed. We saw lives restored. And they tell an account of what they saw. And Jesus says to them, don't rejoice about the things you saw, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then Jesus tells them, I saw Satan fall down like lightning. So Jesus was there watching when Michael the archangel defeated Satan and kicked him out and his demons out of heaven. One third of the angels turned to help to fight with Satan. They were kicked out of heaven and it fell down like lightning. And then later on in scripture, Jesus, before he ascended, would say, the prince of the air is coming. He has nothing on me. No. See, because of Jesus, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. So, of course, I saw a lot of demonic activities during the Freedom Convoy, but I also saw a move of the Spirit. I saw a move of God during the Freedom Convoy. So I went there the very last day, and it was dark in Ottawa. People were just, I felt the emotions of the people. I felt the pain. And then a friend of mine gave me his staff. I'm not sure if you watched the video. So during the during the last day of the arrest, it was actually being live streamed, funny enough. People had their cameras out. You'll probably see a guy with a staff preaching and praying. When I go there, they had asked me to pray for the people who were feeling oppressed. So I had my staff praying for God to heal the land. I was praying for restoration. I was praying that God would have mercy on those who are wicked, right? And that video went viral. Over 200,000 people watched that. And then the next morning, I was announced that the Freedom Convoy was officially over, right? So I knew God had sent me there 7 months before it started and the day it officially ended, right? So I don't take for granted this assignment God has given me to be an encouraging voice in this tough time to end. So, of course, in that time, I felt to do a documentary film called The Fringe Preachers, because a lot of my colleagues, my friends, were also there in Ottawa preaching the gospel. We saw many people healed. We saw demons casted out. I mean, spirits. We saw people restored. And, of course, the secular media, the far left, of course, they're full of giving false information. So I felt like, you know, I need to do a film based on the account of what I saw God do, right? So we made this film called The Fringe Preachers. So why is it a fringe? Of course, we know our prime minister called us a fringe minority.
Small fringe minority.
Yes. So of course, we did this film called The Fringe Preacher. But I began to research the word fringe, right? It's the hem of a garment, right? And then there's a Bible verse that says, there's a woman in the Bible that she had an issue of blood. And the Bible says, this woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was on his way to someone else's house whose daughter was dying, right? And this woman, imagine somebody calls you for an emergency. Hey, Sean, I need your help here. And you're going over there so fast. And someone pulls you on the driveway and says, I need your help for this thing. And it's urgent. And then where you're heading to gets disrupted because there's something else that needs your attention. What do? You have a destination. In your destination, there is a divine interruption. This is what I call a planned detour. So Jesus is going to this person's house, and then the woman with the issue of blood she pushed through the crowd, and she reached for the hem of the garment of Jesus. And then she was healed instantly. And Jesus says, who touched me, right? In that moment, I began to understand Canada is like the woman with the issue of blood. And we must reach for the hem of the garment of Jesus. You know, in our nation today, there's a lot of blood issues, a lot of bloodshed, a lot of wickedness, a lot of demonic activities going on. You look around Canada, you look at just, I can keep going here, but you look at what's happening with the unjust killings and oh man, it's just, it's an issue of bloodshed and of course there's judgment, right? We want to see revival, but before revival, there's judgment first. But only the blood of Jesus can wash away the dirt of sin, right? This is why Jesus had to die for us, because of the sin problem we had that has separated us from God, right? And God had to come up with a plan. My son has to go, right? He was a perfect lamb that was slain from the beginning. So anyways, so Canada's like the woman of it's like the woman with the issue of blood. So at the Freedom Convoy, I saw the truckers like that woman, that they had to push through the despairs, the all the craziness with the pandemic. They came from far and near to say, we want freedom. But guess what? There was somebody else with us in Ottawa, and his name is Jesus. And his spirit was there with us too, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and there's freedom. And I saw the Holy Spirit touch so many lives. People were set free. People were healed. And of course, when I think about the Freedom Convoy, I don't think about, people can be discouraged thinking, well, what was the point of all of that? I believe God got the attention of Canadians. I believe God had his way. I believe that it was a divine announcement that we must keep pressing forward for this land to be healed. I'm sorry, man. I went on a detour here.
No apologies. The thing with spiritual warfare and you talking about being on the streets of Ottawa, I've told you I've had my own experience there. And one of the things about warfare is it isn't one-sided. It isn't, you know, we got machine guns and they got nothing and we just walk in and mow them down. Now, in fairness, I think you would probably agree that if you got Jesus Christ, you probably do have that. And then some. But that's not the way it plays out in real life. It doesn't. I don't mean real life. I just mean that it's like, it's a game of soccer. You're a soccer guy. You've mentioned that God is spiritual, right? So is Satan. And that means both sides are playing this game and we are caught somewhere in the middle. In Ottawa, I felt like I was caught in the middle of it. And it's funny, man, there was a lot of weird things that happened in Ottawa, you know, and I guess I always try and get to the bottom of them, Solomon. But I did get I got prayed for by a street preacher there. I'm quite sure it wasn't you. But regardless, that was a first. And I just went, there's so much going on here that I can't even begin to comprehend. And now it's, you know, we're years past it. We're 2 years past it. And I'm still, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. And it's why spiritual warfare just keeps coming up for me. I keep thinking about it. I keep talking about it because Ottawa gets sold as this place where everything was great. Nothing ever bad happened there. And I say that a little bit tongue in cheek because obviously the protesters there were phenomenal. And when you talk about Jesus being there, I get it. But I think we slide by, and maybe this is just my own view on it. We slide by the fact the other side was there, and it was trying real hard to provoke, to derail, to probably a few other words in there, that entire movement. And I ran into some of that headlong, I guess.
Yeah. You know, so about spiritual warfare, it's a clash of two kingdoms, right? Now, whether you like it or not, we are all at war. We're at war right now. You're either on God's side or you're on the side of Satan, right? And I spoke about how Satan got kicked out of heaven. And now with spiritual warfare, now it has intensified. It has heightened. This is the worst things has ever been, right? Now, I said before too that because of Jesus, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Jesus has already won. When Jesus defeated the grave, when he died for us, buried, and 3 days later resurrected, it was game over. He said,
but if you don't know that story, if you don't know the power of it, you don't understand that. right? Like you just like, you don't understand that you're fighting from victory. I get what you mean. It's just, there's a ton of people that probably have, well, and I would have been one of them. And still am one. I'm still learning. I hope to always be learning, I might add in. But I mean, like, there is a ton of people that do not understand that, you know, that everything that's been done, like, it's been pulled from our society. I just think, you know, I grew up in the church. I grew up going to it. I don't know where my brain was at when I was in there. None of it sunk in. It is taking a long time. It has taken a lot of things to happen for some of it to slowly start to seep into life and be like, oh. But if you don't understand and haven't read the stories and haven't just like picked up the book and started reading it and actually read it, I don't think you understand that point.
Yeah, that's true. I'm with you, my friend. You know, there's a Satan knows his time is short, right? Because of course God is God of God is just, and there will be justice one day, right? And Jesus Christ said, "I'll be coming back." He's coming back soon, right? And we do have an assignment, what we're to do before he comes back. Now, I spoke about there's a clash of kingdoms, well, two kingdoms, the kingdom of God's kingdom and the kingdom of darkness, right? And the kingdom of darkness has its God, as you call it, prince of the air. His name is Satan. Satan is a mastermind of the kingdom of darkness. And of course, with him are the demons, right, that are oppressing. And see, Satan has an agenda. The kingdom of darkness, led by Satan, has an agenda, which is to kill, steal, and destroy. Those are his three mandates: to kill, to steal, and to destroy, right? And God's kingdom is just that all will come to know his son, Jesus Christ. Both sides, there's a dream, there's a mission. See, God has a dream, and God's dream is for the world to come to know his son, Jesus Christ. By knowing him, I mean like to receive the finished work of the cross, to lay down your life and receive the life he has for you, right? And then the kingdom of darkness, the agenda is, of course, like I said, to kill, to steal, to destroy. Now, because Satan knows his time is short, what I mean by that is Jesus is coming back soon and he'll be judged and he'll be put away for eternity in a place called hell. Because he knows that, he's really on this mission now to really destroy. So if you're watching live right now, and you're wondering, what in the world are we talking about? We're talking about just in this spiritual warfare where that's happening right now. You know, I've said this before, that the problem in the world today, it is a sin problem. It is a sin problem, and only the blood of Jesus can wash away the dirt of sin, right? Because he shed his blood for us on the cross. So because it's a sin problem, because there's this warfare, if I were you, I encourage you to be a part of Team Jesus. Join the team, right? And of course, in this team, we're not fighting to win. We're fighting from victory. And Jesus has given us his spirit to help us through this life before he comes back, right?
Do you think you can sit on the sidelines? And what I mean by that is, I lived 35, 36 years of my life not realizing. I mean, probably things were happening in my life, but I literally did not get any of this, right? When, you know, once again, I'll bring you back to soccer. You were talking about sports being your God. You know, like, I just think of the NHL. I think of hockey. I think of how much I watched, how much I played, how much I focused on that. And I just never got any of this. And I was having this discussion with a friend a couple weeks ago. He goes, man, I don't know, just messing around in that realm, I don't know if that's such a good thing. And so in my brain, you know, I've thought since that conversation, can you actually sit on the sidelines? And what are your thoughts on that?
These are my thoughts on that. In Team Jesus, there's no sidelines. There are no spectators. There's no cheerleaders. There's no bench warmers. In God's kingdom, in Team Jesus, you must participate. You don't just, you know, this is really cool. I have this cool story. During COVID, God was doing some cool stuff, like people were getting healed and lives were being changed. And I had a friend who came out with me to the streets for an outreach. And this friend of mine was just standing, watching still, and just watching us pray for people and minister the gospel, minister to people. And God spoke to this friend of mine, three words, four words: don't be a spectator. God said to my friend, don't be a spectator. As a byproduct, they got involved in what we're doing, right? So I would agree. And in this, in Team Jesus, there's no, you can't be on the sidelines. God is looking for people that will be involved. There's this well-known prophetic words for the nations about a billion soul harvests. Let me just break it down for you. A billion people coming to know Jesus. If the world's population is 8 billion, we have to think, how many people really know Jesus, right? In this 8 billion of people, we have to believe that God desires that we get our hands to work, that many will come to know him, right? So, of course, when I said earlier before that it's possible to be in church and not in Christ, before I give my life to Jesus, I had been to hundreds, possibly thousands of conferences, Bible studies, Bible teachings, prayer meetings, Sunday services, many of those, in the thousands. And I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How's that possible? You can be a part of a team and still be on the sideline. You can be on a team and just, you're cheering the guys from the outside, but you're not really involved yourself, right? That was me. I liked the idea. I liked the experiences, but my heart was not in. It was all head knowledge.
Is that belief? And what I mean by that is, I remember being young and going through the motions of praying, right? And nothing, hearing anything. And why can't other people talk or hear? And I can't, I don't know. And so I just eventually walked away from it. Is that belief that, I don't know. Why is it that, sir, I've asked this question lots, right? Solomon probably doesn't have the answer for this, right? There's probably one guy that's got the answer for this. But like, why is it, you pray, and then, I look at it, roughly 20 years later, I pray. I don't pray, I pray. And it's answered, like immediately. And I'm like, oh boy. And I say that because they're different. And I don't know why they're so different, but they are extremely different, in my mind, at least.
So your question is about answer to prayers or prayer in itself? Let me comment. I think, do you want to say something or?
No. Comment first.
I think this is what you're saying. See, I've learned something that when we pray from a sincere heart, when we humble ourselves and we really pray, we see God, I believe he answers every time. The question is, do we like the answer we're getting? Right? For example, I have kids. If my youngest son says to me, Daddy, I need the car keys to drive the car, I'm going to answer his request because he really wants to drive. He means that well. But the answer is no. No. You can't drive the car because legally you can't drive. You're not ready for it, right? But you can have your toys. You can have your toys. You can watch a cartoon, but you can't have my car, right? That is God. See, sometimes with answered prayers, God looks down and says, I know you want this, Sean, but I don't think you're ready for it. But I'm going to prepare you so you can walk out the answers to your prayers, right? So, but now, scripture tells us of two people, because there are people that pray religiously. They just go for hours and hours and hours. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with praying for hours, because Jesus prayed for hours, right? And Jesus really called out the apostles. Can't you even pray for 1 hour? But there are cases whereby people pray religiously. There's two people that went to, in scripture, they went to go pray before God. One of them was saying so many things. Says, Lord, I pay my tithe. I help the poor. Long story short, he's bragging about all these nice things he does for people. And the other guy comes before God. He couldn't even look up to the heavens. He says, Lord, I'm so sorry, for I am a wicked man. And he was humbled. He was sincere. And the Bible says that other guy went home justified. Not the guy who was bragging. This guy who came to the Lord, he went home justified. So there is a place of how we pray. We must have a prayer lifestyle, but how we pray matters. Long story short, how you conversate. Prayer is a conversation, talking to God, right? So imagine a person that just talks your ear off, but imagine those sincere, passionate conversations that you really appreciate, right? So I believe that God answers prayers. Example, I have prayed so many things that there were times I wasn't even ready for the answers of prayers. And God had to prepare me till that season to walk in the prayer, the answer to the prayer. So I believe every time we pray a sincere prayer, God answers every single time. It may not be what we like, we don't want to hear it, but he answers every single time. But God does this such a way. The whole mission of answered prayers is to bring us to become more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, right? Because sometimes we're praying and asking God for things we don't even understand ourselves, right? So I believe God answers our prayers every single time. For example, I think this could maybe people watching this right now may not understand this. I believe that the Freedom Convoy was a type of answer to prayers. For example, before the Freedom Convoy, I remember praying for an awakening, for revival, for things to be shaken up. Because if we can be honest, none of us are happy about the state of Canada. When I came to Canada as a little boy, I thought of it as the best country in the world. I thought about Canada being like the heaven I've always heard about. I love Canada. I came during the time of Harper was the prime minister. And then I have to ask myself, what happened to us? What happened? I know people right now who are fleeing from Canada to different countries, right? When I came to country, people were begging to come here. Now people are fleeing away from Canada, right? So before COVID, I know many people who are praying for revival, for an awakening, for a move of the spirit. I believe God used the truckers. Listen to me, my friend. God used the truckers to shake things up. And I love the truckers. These guys were tough. They were, because oftentimes we pray for things and God starts to answer it. We miss it. Answered prayers often come in packages we don't recognize. Okay, look at scripture. The Messiah was coming. Jesus was going to come, right? The Pharisees thought they had everything figured out. We know exactly how he's going to come. And what does God do? He would bring his son through the Virgin Mary, right? And Jesus was not born in a five-star hospital. He was born in a manger, in a very humble place. Only the shepherds and the three wise men could experience this powerful situation that was happening, right? So I believe that the truckers' convoy was an answer to prayers. God allowed it, and there was a mission behind it, and the world was impacted by it, right?
Yeah, 100%. You said something there. You know, I think of the sidelines. You know, I think of this entire journey, and I go, why is it? You could pray and not hear anything, but you said something along the lines of, did you like what you heard? Because maybe it is, you know, maybe he's saying, you know, you got to do this and you don't understand. One of the things about this, the journey on this side, I would say, you know, I've said this now for probably, I don't know, a year, maybe a bit more, is at times I feel like I got complete control of this podcast, and other days I'm like, I got zero control. And today is another example of that, where I'm like, I'll be very honest to the listener and to Solomon. You know, when I was trying to find 600th guest, to be exact, you know, you want it to be Jesus himself, you know, you want it to be like this name. And Solomon, I'm not trying to knock you at all. I just mean, like, you want it to be Joe Rogan, or you want it to be some big fancy name. And I got talking to a group of people who listen to the podcast, and they all said, I don't care. I want it to be meaningful. And I went, oh. I want it to be meaningful too. And so then I went back and prayed. And the thing that just kept coming up was spiritual warfare. And I'm like, oh man, I'm like, can we do that on 601? Can we do that on 610? Can we do that anytime but 600? That's what we're, you know, I keep joking about this. Like, I'm outing myself. I've outed myself now for about 100 episodes. I think the audience at this point is laughing at me, or they're calling me a preacher and yelling at the thing and getting on with their lives. But, you know, when you talk about the sidelines, Solomon, maybe that's just part of it. I was thinking belief, you know, maybe you don't believe. And to me, I look at my journey, and part of that is Like, I really needed him at that moment, and he came through. But maybe part of it is when he comes through and says an answer, you're like, oh, I don't know. That's tough.
Even to encourage you, I would even say it like this. God is answering your prayer through this podcast. You're experiencing it. So an answer prayer, God also delights when we enjoy it. When I was a child, I had this experience. My dad had this guy that went to the church. He promised me a cookie one day. Solomon, I'm going to give you a cookie. I'm going to buy you a cookie. And for many days, I asked him, where's my cookie? He said, I forgot it. Every time I saw him, where's my cookie? I forgot it. You know what eventually did one day? I forgot to ask him one day. He comes to me, surprised, Solomon, I have your cookie. And I was so excited. He said to me, every single time you ask me for the cookie, I had the cookie with me. But because you kept asking me for it,
I won't give.
Yes. So when we sincerely ask God for something, we must believe that he's answered our prayer, right? About the sideline, when you're on Team Jesus now, right? Think of it as in hockey or in soccer. When you're in the team, you've got direct connection with the coach. You can talk to the coach. You've got his number. You can ask him any questions. Now, with a sports team, there is a play for every game. The coach has a plan. This is how we're going to beat the other team. This is what you do. Sean, I want you to play defense like this. I want you to just be intentional, play tough. This is how we do it on this team. This is how we can beat the next team. But imagine what happens when you're not doing what the coach tells you to do. Imagine in your wanting to talk to the coach, he tells you something you don't like, something you don't want to hear, but what he's telling you helps you to be a better hockey player. Same idea, right? In Team Jesus, there is a playing system. And the coach is the Holy Spirit. There's a way he wants us to play offense. The Bible says, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Long story short, we're coming. We're playing offense. When I play sports, man, I hated with a passion play for sports teams that just were so defensive minded. All they did was play defense. And the other team is coming after us. And I'm like, guys, come on. Are we going to play defense the entire game? We got to attack. Right? When I think about Team Jesus, when I said we're fighting from victory, we're on the offense. We're scoring goals. Souls are being touched, saved, transformed, right? Set free, freedom. So in Team Jesus, everyone gets involved and we must hear the coach is always talking and we have direct access to him. So with prayer, what I want to encourage people listening right now is, prayer is not about the person that's praying. It's about the one who's answering it. And the one who answers it is God and his spirit. And when we speak to him, and what I love about that is God helps you to communicate with him. It's not how good you are, but it's how good he is. He helps you to imagine having a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and they're trying to communicate something with you, but you know exactly what they're trying to ask of you. Or think of it as you have a little child and you know, as a father, you know what your child needs. He needs food. He needs maybe diapers. He needs this and that. And the provisions are made for that child, right? Same idea. So I believe that every time we talk to the Lord, he's always answering our prayers. And God is good. God knows what we need, which as a byproduct is what we want, right? So, yeah, man. And just, I feel add this to this podcast. There's a Bible verse in Ephesians that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places, right? So you have to understand that in every nation, there are principalities. If Satan is the prince of the air, remember I talked about the two kingdoms, right? The kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness, right? And the kingdom of darkness has its leader, Satan, and have an agenda to kill, steal, and destroy, right? Now, in every region, in every city, principalities, long story short, demons, devils, and that's why when you look at what's happening out in Canada right now, if you're a Christian, you're walking with Jesus, it should not surprise you. These are principalities and powers in high places. And thank God one day soon, Jesus comes back for his church, right? And we're out of this place. So in the midst of this darkness, this oppression, this what I call a dictatorship type of government, right? Oppressive state. God is still on the move, right? Remember, I talked about as a child when I had those experiences in my sleep. I know people right now who are having those experiences. And spiritual warfare is not only things in the spirit, it's also things that happen right before your eyes. Recently, you probably heard the news in Ottawa about a guy who just nighttime picked up a knife, a sharp object, and killed like an entire family, right? That is a spirit. Everyone is possessed by something. You're either possessed by the Spirit of God. Long story short, you're either engulfed, clothed. You see how my blazer is on me? You're putting something on. You're putting on the Spirit of God or an evil spirit. The question is, which side are you on, right? I heard that story of the guy who just killed the entire family. That was wickedness. Remember, principalities and powers. So Satan's agenda is to kill. It's to steal from people, steal your mental health. Look at the world today. There's an epidemic of mental health crisis. Look at homelessness. Look at the housing issue. Look at inflation. Look at all this stuff that is going on. I didn't say this in my introduction, Sean. I ran for the mayor of my city, right? After the Freedom Convoy, I felt compelled to run for mayor. It was a very interesting a detour and journey how I got to that point. But my primary reason for running was because I was frustrated and I was tired of the oppressive state of people, right? And then God spoke to me again for the second time, eventually. If my people who are called by my name, Muhammad himself, turn from your wicked ways and seek his face, then he'll heal the land. Canada right now needs a lot of healing. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of despair. There's a lot of people who are being tormented by demons. And God says, I've given you my spirit, my Holy Spirit, who is a counselor, who is a teacher. What are you going to do about it? This Saturday, I'm actually doing a conference called God Heal Our Land, Resend, March 16th at the Hamilton Concert Hall. Now, how do we go to this point? Last year, we did a stadium event, July 1st. We rented a football stadium, and we were hoping that thousands of people would come there to really seek the face of God and repent, right? And guess what? About 5,000-6,000 people came out. And I believe God answered our prayers because since then, we have been on the prayer movement the last 8 months, 5 days a week. 6 a.m. we're praying. And while we're praying, God is doing a special work inside of every one of us. Not just in us, but through us. We're on a sanctification journey. In other words, God is setting us apart. When you say yes to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit puts you on this sanctification journey. The cleansing begins, right? So my friend, long story short, we got this concert hall, Hamilton Concert Hall, happening on Saturdays, all-day conference. And then all of a sudden, look at this. We've been praying in our city halls, and there's this beautiful thing happening God is doing in our midst. And all of a sudden, our city hall had a security cyber attack just about 2 weeks ago, right? And then just a few days ago, somebody got shot and killed 9 times right beside the Hamilton Concert Hall where we're meeting this Saturday for our conference. That sounds like a warfare to me. Because remember, we're contending in prayer in the mornings. We're praying. God, heal our land. Lord, heal our heart. Heal our families. Change our nation. Heal our politicians. We want revival. That is happening. And Satan is angry. And Satan says, you know what? Not on my watch. I'm going to mess up the whole thing up. Remember, we're fighting against principalities. Our stadium event last year, we fought some devils. It was crazy what happened. And I bet you too, Sean, before this podcast, you had some spiritual attacks too. You had some things happen to you because let me just explain this for people that don't understand. You're wondering, what do you guys mean by spiritual warfare? I spoke about if you're not a Christian, you've not given your life to Jesus, then as a byproduct, you're in Satan's kingdom. Right? It's just, think of it as in Canada, right? You're either a citizen of Canada or you're not, right? And if you're not a citizen of Canada, you can get deported out of this nation just like that, right? You do something that is unethical, right? So think of it as that state. Think of it as that way, Brother Sean. That before this podcast, you had some spiritual things you had to fight. But when I say spiritual things, think of it as Satan coming after you. Let me just break it down for you. I'm not going to use the word spiritual warfare because someone might not understand what I mean. But Satan is coming after you with his demons. Is destroying your mindset. Coming after, like, think of it as suicidal. Do you know how many people committed suicide during COVID? A lot of people took their own lives. Suicide. There are people watching this right now, and they're battling with suicidal thoughts. And I feel the Spirit of God saying to me right now, every spirit of suicide has to leave right now in Jesus' name. Now, you're wondering, why am I speaking like this? Because I know my authority. In every kingdom, an authority is given by the one in charge. Satan gives authority to the demons to do what they do, to carry out his agenda, to destroy, to kill, right? And God has given us an authority. Before Jesus ascended to the Father, he says, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, go into the world and make disciples. He also says things like this, in my name you'll cast out demons. Why would he say to us, we'll cast out demons? Because you're demons, many people are oppressed by in the world today. In my name, you'll heal the sick. You would raise the dead in my name. He's given us in a sports team. When you make the sports team, the coach empowers you and says, hey, as your coach, I'm telling you to win the game for us. Imagine before a game, your coach comes to you and pushes you to the side and says, hey, I believe in you. You're the best athlete in the world. And I believe you can win us this championship. God does that with every one of us and says, in my team, I have empowered you with my spirit. We can win championships. And championships looks like lives being transformed, saved, transformed. Imagine as a believer, we change the system of our nation. You probably heard about the seven mountains. Imagine as believers, we walk into every sphere of society and there's reformation, transformation. The reason the world is the way it is today is because we've got a lot of people who are under satanic oppression. And as a byproduct, the Bible says this, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the ungodly are in authority, the people, they grow on the side. What I mean by that is when we take our right as sons and daughters of God, we step into our God-given authority, there is change everywhere we go. God's light shine. That's why he says, let your light so shine that they may see you and glorify your Father in heaven. So being on the sideline, your light is not shining. The only way to really shine is to be on the playing field and getting involved and helping your team win, right? So I'm sorry for the detour. I just feel to just take a different place.
No. I don't know why I go back. Like I have several thoughts going through my brain. And I don't know if any of it will make sense. So here we go. You know, I think of the Matrix. And I think of, you know, like if you don't know you're in the Matrix, then you don't know. And that's what I mean by when I think of the sidelines. It's just like, what if you just go on a boat, you're paying your taxes, you're moving along and you just kind of like, something's going on, but you just kind of keep going on. Some things happen in front of your own eyes and you write it off as pure whatever and phewy and, you know, I carry on. And you don't give it any second thought. You know, then I think of Scott Fitzgerald. I read a book, This Side of Paradise. It was given to me after I came back from Ottawa. It sucked. I'm going to tell this to the audience right now. I didn't like the entire book. The entire book I thought was garbage. Not garbage in the sense it wasn't well written. I just didn't know why it was given to me, except for one chapter. And one chapter, he is the main character, has this kind of leprechaun figure. Never goes deep into it. I still don't understand why it's in the middle of the book, other than probably in every man's journey, he's confronted by the devil, right? He just, and you know it for what it is because you see it and it's hard. You just can't look away. And I guess, you know, I don't know where, why these two come to mind, Psalm. And I just, they come to mind and I'm like, why in the heck is that coming to mind? But it's just, I sit there and I go, so why are we all sitting around allowing all these things to happen? You go like, well, maybe you don't like what's being told. I don't like some days what's being told. You know, I'm still not 100% sure if I'm 100% comfortable sitting in this conversation and knowing it's going to be aired on my podcast. I'm like, this is wild. And yet I've seen and experienced things I cannot even begin to understand. And I think the only one who needs to understand it for the most part is the guy with the plan. And I know he has a plan and I keep following along because there's times I'm like, what am I doing? And yet I know it's leading me somewhere that I need to be. I just don't know where that is. And I hope it's, you know, when I get there, I'm like, oh, gee, wish I would have just bought in a lot sooner.
Yeah. You know what? This will help someone listening live. See, God speaks to us. And God speaks to us through many ways. Through his word, which is one of the primary ways God speaks. He speaks to us through dreams, visions. God speaks to us through people, our pastors, our leaders. Right? But guess who also speaks too? Satan also speaks. Right? Have you ever had bad thoughts in your mind? Have you ever had a
110%. When I think of spiritual warfare, Solomon, that's exactly what I think of. And once again, this brings up the matrix. I'm like, how many people I think of working out. Okay. If you've never worked out before, you don't understand what your body feels like. All of a sudden you start working out. And after a couple of weeks, you're like, man, I feel really good. Why wasn't I doing this before? And spiritual, you know, when you talk about the thoughts in your head, you start praying and all of a sudden they go away. And you're like, oh, and then you start recognizing them. Oh, gee, I didn't realize I could quiet that down. You know, in my darkest days, I've mentioned this a couple of times. I don't like talking about it a whole lot, but you know, in my darkest time in Ottawa, I had my first suicidal thought ever. And I went, and it shocked me. It literally shocked me. I mean, it almost was sobering. I was like, what? No, I don't want to die. Said it out loud. I don't want to die. And it wasn't that long after I was prayed for on the street and on it went, you know, until I came home and, you know, so to me, it can happen to the healthiest of us. But if you don't understand what you're wrestling with, then, I mean, how can you even begin to understand what the heck is going on? And I just go back to if you've never lifted weights, it's an easy one for an athlete, I guess, because you start lifting weights, you know, and like, oh man, I feel good. Why haven't I been doing this? To me, praying is the same thing. As soon as I started praying, and every time I've had a moment where I'm like, whew, this is a rough day, you know, I go, you know, turn back to the book. I go, oh, I haven't been doing something. What haven't I been doing? And it's allowing it all back in. And though, you know, it's uncomfortable.
You know what? When you think about every case of suicide, every case of crime and every case of theft and you name it, the list goes on, right? Or dictatorship, or you think about Hitler, you think about all these people that have lived in history that just carried out evil, both small and big. It's a byproduct of a spiritual warfare. It's you heard something in your mind and then you carried out what you thought in your mind. The guy who goes to the house and kills the whole family, it started with from his mind. It was a thought that was sown there by Satan.
What's the parable Jesus says? That nothing that enters your body will defile you, but what leaves will. And to me, what you're talking about is Jesus' way of talking about it, or at least that's one of his parables. And to me, I read that this morning, and it's 100% correct. The tongue is the rudder. If you don't control it, you can have some real terrible things come into your life.
I agree. It's a voice activated system. Bible also tells us that, you know, he's given us the power of there's both life and death in the tongue, right? But it says to speak life, right? So it's a voice activated system, a world that whatever you say, that even just as simple as saying things like, I'm having a bad day, you're going to have a bad day. Or you say things like, I'm feeling depressed, you're going to be depressed. That's why, as Christ followers, I call it CEO, Christ empowered officials, we have to speak God's word over ourselves, life, that I am blessed, I am prosperous, I will live. I speak good health over myself. Just, you know, the greatest hand that can ever be laid on you is your own hand, right? So, I mean, there are many people watching this 600 podcast, and my prayer for you today is that you would just receive healing, a sound mind, that every thought in your life, every suicidal thought, every discouraging thought, that it be gone right now in Jesus' name. Or it could be health complication, right? Satan is the one that afflicts people with, you know, the Bible says Jesus came to heal all your diseases, right? You look at cancer, you look at, it could be a backache, whatever it is, you know, we see how Satan is inflicting people, both spiritually, dreams, nightmares, physically, you name it. If you're a person watching this right now and you're having these thoughts, these experiences, then guess what? You can pray right now. Give your life to Jesus and just ask him to come into your heart and heal you and help you, and you're going to see change. So like I said before, you know, like we live in a world, there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of issues, man. It's just a byproduct of the warfare we're fighting. Satan knows it's time to show it. But in the midst of this, there's hope. There's good news. God is actively moving right now, and lives are being revived. God has always been moving. But people have no idea. See, Jacob had an experience. Jacob, in I believe it's Genesis, Jacob had this dream and he saw a ladder and angels were ascending up and down. Eventually, you saw Jacob wrestle with God, right? And he woke up. Jacob said something really profound. He says, God was in this place and I had no idea. God is where you are right now, where we are right now. And many people have no idea that God is moving. This is why my perspective, my focus is always on what God is doing, right? So, of course, I don't give any attention to the kingdom of darkness. Our focus always has to be on God's kingdom. What is God doing? And how can we get involved and partner with him?
Man, I've really enjoyed you coming on and doing this. But another name to add to the list of people that I had no idea who they were. But if you're ever out in Western Canada, you make sure you you drop me a line, because I would certainly love to have you in studio, or at least just shake your hand and get to meet the person who is Solomon Davies. So thank you, sir, for hopping on. For the audience, if they wanted to find you, let's say they're out east, let's say they're just anywhere in Canada, North America, it doesn't matter to me, where can they go to find you?
Well, you can find me on my website is godhealourland.com. Godhealourland.com. You can find out what we're up to. On Facebook, it's Solomon Davies on Facebook, D-A-V-I-E-S, Solomon Davies on Facebook. Of course, you can check out my film on YouTube. It's free. It's called The Fringe Preachers on YouTube. The Fringe Preachers on YouTube. Also, too, if you want to join our conference this Saturday, it's going to be at the Hamilton Concert Hall here in Hamilton, Ontario. And we're asking people to join us at 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. all day as we pray, we get equipped and trained in how to keep fighting from victory. So, Sean Newman, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a joy to share here and to get to know you. I believe that God has a plan for Canada. The best God has for Canada, I believe we're in that season right now, because there are people like Sean who God is using through his incredible podcast. So, man, I believe in you, man. I believe you are one of the – because I just feel to say this before I go. When we think about how God works through people, it's not only true in the church. See, we're a church, right? And you look at Melissa McKay, how God is using them through the Bikers Church. It's incredible what's happening there, right? What God is doing. And when I think about Ottawa, I think about the Bikers Church, right? But I think about how God is raising, how people are getting involved, how people are being God's vessel through channels like a podcast like this. So think about how much thousands of people are going to be impacted through this podcast. So, Sean, I really believe that God has raised you for a time such as this, and you are a type of an apostle in the web, right? In the media, you're an apostle. You think of it as you don't have to be a pastor of a church, but I believe God is using you powerfully to be his hand and feet through media. But we're living in an AI generation. AI, everything is techie savvy. This is why. This is how our city can get hacked. We can go through cybersecurity. A city is shut. We can't even use our phones or internet. But I believe people like yourself, Sean Newman, I believe God is raising many people like you that will be a web media revivalist, you know, bringing change and transformation, pointing people to Jesus through your platform. So I think we need such platforms like this, and I'm so thankful that I played very little part of it. So thank you so much for having me, man. I honor you, my friend.
Thanks again, Solomon.